Well, it's nice to see all of you, and we trust the Lord will bless us today as we gather around His precious Word. That hymn we sung at the beginning of our assembly is one that really does suit the topic I'd like to deal with today. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known, nor why, unworthy as I am, He claimed me for His own. There is a wonderful mystery about the workings of God's mercy in our lives. There's not one of you here today that's saved, but looking back, you will discover, and you'll discover this more and more as you grow older, that long before you realized it, God was working in your life, gently steering you toward a certain place, an encounter with Himself, the opening of your eyes to your need of Christ. God was arranging all this long before you realized it, long before any of us realized it. And I think it's part of the Christian's joy to think on these things and meditate upon these things and recognize the goodness of God in times where we were totally unaware that He had His eye upon us. Now, we're reading from the second chapter of Ruth. We're reading verses that we have read before, but we're going to read them in order that we might be reminded of what the Lord was doing in the life of Ruth and what He was doing in her life through His servant Boaz, who was, you remember, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Ruth chapter 2, and we'll begin at verse 19. Ruth has spent some time in the fields of Boaz. She has gleaned and come home with a tremendous harvest, far more than could be expected from just going round gathering up the seeds that had been bypassed and overlooked. Of course, Boaz had arranged that the workers would drop handfuls for Ruth to gather up. And so she goes home with a great bounty. And Naomi, upon seeing this, makes some inquiries, and then she's full of joy that Ruth has been led to the fields by the mercy of God. Ruth didn't go there because she knew Boaz or anything like that. Ruth knew nothing about it. She probably just went out of the house, headed out of the little town, and the first field in which she saw reapers working, she went into it. But it was Boaz's field. And when she tells her mother-in-law Naomi of where she had been, she's greatly excited because she recognizes, why, this man is our kinsman redeemer. He is the one who in the providence of God has been appointed by God to help us in our time of trouble. Verse 19 then, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord, who hath not left off His kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin, a close relative unto us, one of our near kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast, keep close, by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. May the Lord bless this reading from His precious Word. Now, the last time we were together, we started to consider how efficient a Redeemer Boaz was. Because God is here now beginning to reveal to us how that as the near relative of Naomi and Ruth, Boaz would take on those responsibilities that were his under the law. And in so doing, he is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus is a most efficient, most effective Redeemer. He sees to every detail. There's nothing left aside or left undone. He hath done all things well, is the exclamation the Scripture gives us regarding the Savior's work. He has done all things well, and so he has. And that is illustrated in the labors and the work and the attentiveness that Boaz pays to the task of redeeming, looking out for, and caring for both Ruth and her mother-in-law, who are his near relatives. That's what we're studying. Now, we're told in the very last verse of that portion we read, the verse 23 of chapter 2, that Ruth kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. You know, boys and girls, how do I say this without giving you a wrong impression? But God takes his time in working out his will and purpose. Oh yes, there are times in which men have said, as they have observed God working in their midst, that it was done suddenly. It was done quickly. And that's true. But what men haven't seen is the preparation work that God had carried out over a lengthy period, whereby that sudden work came into being. I'm thinking of what happens in the desert. I visited Arizona on one occasion, traveled around just a little bit of the state, and saw what extensive desert-like conditions there was in Arizona. And I learned a funny thing. When there is rain, doesn't happen too often, but there are times when it rains, and rains very heavy, on that sandy desert. Do you know that within a day, that barren, sandy desert suddenly is covered in the most beautiful flowers? It certainly happens very quickly. The rain falls, and we talk about watching grass grow. Well, if you were there that day, you could detect the growing of the flowers as they spring up from the ground and blossom. Now, we might say, why, wasn't that a sudden thing? But not really. That seed has been lying beneath that surface waiting for quite some time. And, of course, the rain came in the form of clouds. Why, that had been formed maybe hundreds of miles away and then carried by the wind, and then caused to drop its liquid upon the desert, and then, suddenly, the flowers appeared. But behind it all, there was a process that took time, and so it is in the mercy of God regarding our salvation and our conversions. God is working, preparing, making ready, steering you, though you don't recognize it, toward that encounter with Himself. And it's seen here in the story of Ruth. Let me read to you some verses out of Mark's Gospel, the chapter 4, beginning at the verse 26, where the Savior, as he ever was prone to do, illustrates gospel truth by pointing his hearers to nature. Oh, listen, I've said it before. We not only have an inspired, inerrant record of God's grace and mercy and kindness in our Bibles, but God has been kind to give us another record out there in nature. Now, it's not as perfect as the Bible, but nevertheless, it is a great aid. It is a great companion to the record that we have in the Bible, and it illustrates for us the gospel message. Listen to these words, Mark 4:26. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring, and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he, the farmer, putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Now, you can see there a reference to the mysterious work that goes on in the field, about which the farmer really doesn't know anything. He sows his seed, but then he just has to wait on the miracle of growth until the harvest is come. And there is that mysterious, unseen work that is likewise to be found in God's dealings with us until there comes the moment of harvest. Now, in the life of Ruth, there was a period in which things just continued on. The last verse, as I said, of chapter 2 of Ruth tells us, "So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz, to lean unto the end of the barley harvest, and of the wheat harvest." Nothing happened after that initial announcement by her mother-in-law. Why, this man is a near relative of ours. He is our kinsman redeemer. He holds the answer to all our needs. But nothing happened for a while. Life just went on. Ruth went out every morning, headed for the fields, spent the day there, and then came home again with whatever it was she had gleaned, she had gathered. But God was working. God was working. He was working in the heart of Ruth, and he was also working in the heart of Boaz, because they were getting to know each other. They were getting to know each other. There was, as it were, a springing up of a fondness, indeed a love, in the heart of Boaz toward this young woman, so virtuous, so industrious, so kind and thoughtful toward her mother-in-law. Boaz would have been able to see all these things and think upon them, and doubtless as he thought upon them, an affection for this young woman would have grown up. And on the other hand, Ruth likewise would have been able to see Boaz and see his kindness, see how well he managed his affairs, see how good he was to his workers. I mentioned when we looked earlier at the study we were engaged in, how when Boaz came to the fields, he was greeted by his workers most kindly, most respectfully, and they pronounced a blessing upon him. And that to me indicates that he was a good man, and he was good to his workers. If you look back to the verse 4 of the chapter 2, you have the incident I'm referring to. "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless you." I tell you, Ruth would have noticed all this, and her admiration for Boaz would have grown and grown, and an affection would have been born in her heart as well. So that during this period of reaping, there would have been a gradual knitting together of the hearts and the minds of Boaz and Ruth. God was working out his purpose. God was working out his purpose in the lives of these two individuals. It's interesting to notice, and oh, boys and girls, I again say to you that every little bit of information in the Bible is given for you to take note of, think about, and examine in the light of other passages in the Scripture. Now, verse 29 tells us that she worked in the fields unto the end of the barley harvest. she and Naomi had come to Bethlehem. If you look at the last verse of chapter 1, they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Now, in our country, harvest starts just whenever the farmer feels that his crop is ready to be reaped. His neighbor mightn't start the same day as he does. In fact, in this country, you get those who are up in Antrim starting their harvest earlier because their harvest and the growth and the preparation and the ripening is that wee bit ahead of us here in the West. But in Israel, it didn't happen like that. In Israel, they all began their harvesting on the same day. It was a day appointed by God. By God. Before the Passover, there was what was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And for 7 days, there was this special feast. You can remember how God ordered his people when they were in Egypt to prepare for the night of the Passover by 7 days of eating only unleavened bread. Well, on the second day of that feast, the barley harvest began. So, that tells us roughly when Ruth and her mother-in-law arrived. Now, Passover is round about March time on our calendar. We'll say the middle of March. So that's when Ruth would have begun to go out into the fields and glean at the beginning of the barley harvest. But it says that she continued during the barley harvest and also, verse 23 of chapter 2, the wheat harvest. So, you see, in Israel, once the barley was reaped, then the wheat was ready for reaping. And they'd move on and begin to reap the wheat. And that would take up to a period at the beginning of our June, round about that time. So from the middle of March, say to the middle of June, Ruth was in the fields working. And she was getting to know Boaz. And Boaz was getting to know her. And it was all part of God's plan to bring them together in marriage. Oh, I tell you, boys and girls, God works in this wonderful way. I wonder, is he working in your life? Is he working in your heart? Is he drawing you to the Lord Jesus? Is he causing you to look on him and admire and love his wondrous person? I trust he is. If you're not saved, have you been thinking about the Savior? Have you been thinking about getting saved? Have you been maybe in church or in Sunday school or in the children's meeting or here in the assemblies? Maybe you've been thinking about the Lord and you have felt your heart drawn to him. That's God working. That's God working. And I trust that soon he will bring you together and the Lord Jesus will become your Redeemer, your Savior, and you'll cast yourself upon him, not only for the things of time, but for the things of eternity. We'll end our study there today, and in the will of God, we'll be back with you again on Thursday. The Lord bless you. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, bless each one today. Bless the word of God to hearts. And oh, we pray for a furthering and an advancing of that wonderful work of bringing the sinner to Jesus. Bless the children. Remember those even now taking an exam, be near to them. Grant them that help, Lord, that they need. Take care of the school today. Overshadow it, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.